Hey yo, welcome to the winner's circle. Polish your crown, here to optimize your workflow. That's ServiceNow. This ain't your typical run-of-the-mill tech talk. OGs, we're the best in the field. We'll help you level up and build your credibility. Now let me ask you one question, who the realest be? Unapologetic, if we said it, then we meant it. Foundation built on trust, authentic, so it's cemented. Better make way, only facts in the booth. You're now tuned in with CJ and the Duke. What success? I'll let you in on the scoop. Make your mind your best friend and fill it up with the
This truth. Episode is brought to you by Clear Sky. Clear Sky is the only identity governance and security solution built natively on ServiceNow. It optimizes enterprise identity and risk management with a platform-first approach. Look, we have built a great digital world where we can plug and play people into our applications and information globally. Great for speedy operations, but can be a real nightmare for risk and security and governance, who are left asking, who has access to what? Who authorized that? Should they still have it? When's the last time we checked? This is why CJ and the Duke love Clear Sky. All of the benefit of a company with decades worth of ILM and IGA experience with a solution that's built natively on ServiceNow, the platform that we all trust. ClearSky, optimized identity management built natively on ServiceNow. Check the description below for an episode CJ and I did on ClearSky, as well as how to contact them. All right, Corey, what are we talking about today?
Today we got a very special guest on. We've got Mark Scott from ServiceNow, and today we're going to talk about now learning. We're going to talk about AI, and we're going to talk about, I mean, whatever else pops up.
Have we had anybody on the show twice? Is Mark the first?
Huh, that's a good question. I think he might be the first. No. Mark, you might be the first repeat guest. How about that?
No way. No, come on. That's not true.
I think it might be.
That's
might
not
be.
True. That can't be right. Well, that's an honor. That's crazy. That makes me feel really good.
That's you do bring like twice as much as the average person to the ServiceNow community. So no, why not, right?
Come on. Ridiculous. Like, I mean, maybe twice as much crazy energy. I don't know.
Crazy energy is good. Yeah.
We like crazy energy. I don't know. I don't sleep. So maybe it's they exude that much intensity that I have to be on twice as many times to get the full story. I have to be on twice as many times. But yeah, my name is Mark Scott. I'm the staff architect. I can never remember what my title is. Titles are irrelevant. I'm an architect of some sorts. I help build buildings over at Now Learning. And, you know, I keep the learning happening over there, which is an incredibly fulfilling job. I love what I do. And when they brought me on, it was a dream. And it still is every day. Keeping you guys trained up, ready to go for the next thing. It's a lot of fun. And every time this time of year rolls around, it's a reminder of how much fun I'm having because we're working on all the stuff that is going into knowledge, which is, it's always a challenge this time of year to say it's fun because it's always deadlines, right? It's always deadlines. But in June, I'll tell you if it's fun or not.
Let's double click a little bit on that,
oh,
right?
Okay. Like,
because it sounds like there's a lot of prep that goes into the now learning side in preparation for knowledge. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that usually starts months ahead of time. It's funny, you talk about your projects. When we talk about go lives and things like that, it's funny to poke your head up and look around at LinkedIn and talk to you guys. Like when I say you guys, I talk to customers because you guys are talking about, you know, Vancouver and things like that. And we're talking about Xanadu. like we're talking like way out there. And so it's so interesting when I talk to the customer side of things, because it's almost like I have to reshift my focus into, okay, where are you guys at? Right? Because we're ahead and you guys, and I don't want to say behind because that's not the right word. You know, you guys are in a different headspace, right? Because usually we have an update that hits right when knowledge hits. And then we also have all the features that we're adding into knowledge, which, I mean, obviously I can't go into that because we always update everybody right around knowledge time.
But there's no safe harbor here. So
no, I'm sorry. Yeah, this isn't the ServiceNow CJ and the Duke podcast, unfortunately. We, you know, sponsored by, but unfortunately now. Yeah, so there's a lot of sprint planning that happens. There's a lot of iteration and cycling that goes through to get those plans going, obviously for that date in knowledge, to nail that date and get that ready. And then what's interesting is we can't push anything live until right around that knowledge time. Otherwise, you guys would see it. So there's a group of people that are sitting there like ready to push the button just before the conference. So there's a small amount of people that are not ready can't go because you've got to push all those things live. And then there's even, you know, some of those engineering managers and things that even, you know, at the conference who are, you know, hope that project's going good because they're, and then also in charge of that project. So it's a real whirlwind for a lot of people that are working the conference, that are also having projects that are launched to the conference. Like when you're an employee of ServiceNow, like that knowledge time becomes like a tornado. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun, but it's very, very different. Very, very different from the employee standpoint.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're a bit of a ServiceNow time traveler, right? You exist a little bit in the future, right, of ServiceNow versus like where the rest of us are, and especially around when it comes down to knowledge. And then, yeah, and then there's like so much extra, like, you know, so much extra prep time and prep work that goes into trying to just pull off a ServiceNow knowledge event with making sure that the now learning stuff gets implemented. Well, and I'm sure this is enterprise-wide coordination too. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, as someone who's been to like the last 10 knowledges or so, even the virtual ones, like we just kind of take it for granted that this stuff happens, right? Like you show up and there's a conference there and there's like breakouts and then there are labs and there's like this great expo and there are booths there and people are doing like really cool stuff. And, you know, you don't always think about what had to go into it in the background to make it happen. And apparently there's a lot of people like you, like plugging away, trying to, you know, make our experiences great, even if you guys aren't even at the conference. So I mean, appreciate all the work.
Those t-shirts had to be printed, like down to that level. Right. Like someone had to figure out what those words were on those t-shirts. It's insane to think about, right? Like if you see a balloon that says, you know, hashtag ServiceNow on it, someone had to approve that balloon. It's a lot of work.
Since we're talking about now learning and like the merging of knowledge as well, how much now on now do you do to get actually spin up the ServiceNow Knowledge Conference from the perspective of what you're involved with?
Obviously, you know, now on now is huge, huge. From a representation at the conference, like how much do we send from now learning? Here's our story. Here's what we've done over the next, from the last year. Here's what we've learned. Here's what we've done. We try to send as many people that we can from here's the things that we've learned. Our entire engineering team from our leadership all the way down goes, right? And they try to tell that story and really showcase what we've done. Especially like last year, we had an entire track of best practices on the portal and what we've learned when we shifted from what we called Now Learning 1.0 to Now Learning 2.0, which was just a phenomenal amount of knowledge to drop into somebody and go, here it is. Like we're talking about like graduate level, portal level classes about like, here's how you use broadcast and talking to widgets and how to make them not talking back and forth so that you don't overload between like just crazy, crazy stuff that it's like if you're in a, you know, a highly functioning, highly scalable type environment. I mean, all the way down to just the minutia of here's how you scale your sys attachments table. Like we try to put a lot of that knowledge back into our customers as much as possible, right? I know I'm always looking for those where I go, this is a constantly, my team's probably sick of hearing this. I'm like, hey, this is a great knowledge topic that we could submit, right? Like constantly, it's huge. It's definitely woven into the fabric of everything that we're doing is let's put this back into that. Because honestly, like it makes, not only does it make us look better to everybody else, where we're like, look how good we're doing, but I love it from a, let's go show everybody how awesome we are from an engineering standpoint. Like we're the best. We're keeping one of the most highly sought after instances online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People are constantly learning on our system. Let's show off and tell people about it. So yeah, absolutely. We're now is huge, huge, huge in what we're doing.
Nice. So building on the now learning aspects, right? You mentioned the 2.0, right? And I remember the last time we had you on the show, that's when you were launching, you know, Now Learning 2.0, right? And we're like super excited about it. And I still am, right? Yeah. I think this is like a huge improvement over what came before. And honestly, I can't even remember what came before. It's just so much better. You know, it totally is. And so I guess what one of the things I want to know is like, how are you guys seeing the adoption of Now Learning increase since you all pushed out 2.0? I see what feels like a bit more of a push, you know, from ServiceNow around Now Learning than I did, you know, before on, you know, 1.0 versus 2.0.
I mean, it's so ironic that you would ask about the push, right? Because you're one of them, right? Like, you're like, come on, your picture is used in half the marketing material we have out there, I think. Corey, come on. I mean, let's just talk about Rise Up. Like, Rise Up is one of the like most ambitious initiatives I've seen a tech company ever undertake from a training perspective. It's a lot. And when it filters down to the point where I'm ingraining it in the engineers, where I go, like, the numbers that we're talking about, you shouldn't just be talking about scale. You need to be talking about scale on a massive, massive level, 10x. And right. When we're talking about, like, does this work? It shouldn't just be, does this work? It should be, does this work and will it work at 10x? And if you're like, well, it should be okay, it's like, no, 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 no. This needs to be fail safe. This needs to be good for the next like 10 years because we're going to have 10 years worth of traffic in the next year. And, wow. And that's the hockey stick we're looking at trying to achieve, right? We don't have time to go backwards and fix things. So what we're looking at doing is if we have the exponential growth and the hockey stick that we're looking at achieving, it's like, if I kick off and achieve that growth the way that we're looking at doing, I can't go backwards and fix something that is broken or wasn't scaling the way I thought it was. So I need you to build it now the way that it needs to be done. So yes, the push is there. I'm having my engineers build to the point where, like, gosh, I can't say those words because I'm going to jinx it. I'm having my engineers build to the point where they're keeping scale in mind to a massive level.
So it sounds like Now Learning 2.0 launch was as much or more than you guys ever expected. And so now you're humming on all cylinders and trying to figure out how you can keep up with the demand.
It's laying a base. It's laying a base. Yeah.
Okay. So that's definitely a good place to be in. Are you all keeping track of statistics from the standpoint of how many folks are going through Now Learning and coming out and getting certified based on?
Oh, yeah. If you give a stakeholder a metric, right, they're going to want reporting.
Isn't that the truth? Right? Let's pause on that, right? I think that's something that we can expound upon because it fits in so many different ways, in so many different aspects of the ServiceNow journey, right? Like if you give a stakeholder, what was it you just said? If you give a stakeholder?
You give a stakeholder a metric, they're going to want reporting. It's like that. If you give a mouse a cookie, they're going to want some milk, right? Like,
right. That book.
Yeah. You give a stakeholder a metric, they're going to want reporting. Yeah.
It's kind of, it's sad that way though, because they should know what they need to report on before a third party gives them a metric.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about this a little bit before you even deploy, let's talk about the metrics.
Right. You should figure out what you need to measure before you even have to measure it. It should come out the other way. But yeah, it, absolutely. Do we have KPIs on all of this? Absolutely. The Fortune 500 company, like there's tons of people breathing down our necks going like, how many people came through the program yesterday?
So another thing that you're really famous for lately is all your posts about AI.
Famous, yeah. Yeah,
definitely famous.
Famous or infamous, I'll let you decide. You know, all this Gen AI stuff started cropping up about a year and a half ago. I started jumping on that stuff because when I was a kid, who didn't want that robot? You know what I'm saying? Like every one of those sci-fi shows had a robot or some sort of AI, benevolent or not, but there was some sort of AI in that thing. And it was like, man, I want that. And so like, I would say most of my childhood, I was into it, man. I was like, let's build this thing. The second program I ever wrote told me good morning, good evening, and good night. And that's all I wanted it to do. Cause I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. It just tells me hello.
But last thing that I saw you post on LinkedIn is identifying the planes that are flying over your house.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got a little better at it since then.
It's almost like a net in the sky. It's almost like Skynet.
What was I saying? I hope once they overtake us that they'll know who gave them the high ground, at least in Phoenix. Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, you know, I'm getting good. I'm getting scary at it. I think I told somebody, it was like at one point someone will hook something stupid up to them and I'm like, it was me. It's like, yeah, it'll probably be me. I look at this AI stuff and I go, hey, how long ago did the iPhone come out? I remember looking around and going, man, that thing's neat. And then I played video games and sat around and didn't do anything. And I could have learned to program on that. We all could have. Most of us didn't do anything. Some of us did some cool stuff with those things. And some of us made some pretty good money with them too. And the people that did pretty well. And I go, ooh, maybe this is the next iPhone. maybe this is the next thing. Maybe this is the next, I'm not going to say golden age, or it's not the next industrial revolution, but
gold
maybe
rush,
this is,
though.
Yeah, gold rush, right? Absolutely. The next iPhone gold rush kind of thing. Yeah, it's kind of clunky right now. Yeah, everybody's making fun of it right now because it's going to do some stupid things, but it's going to straighten itself back out. And it's going to figure it out, and there's going to be an application for it, and there's going to be some of this awesome stuff that comes out of it. And I'm like, if I get the skill set and I can learn how to wield this thing and mess around with it enough, maybe there'll be some cool career opportunities down the line. So that's where I'm at. So yeah.
How many hours do you think you sunk into? And did you go from nothing to AI building, or can you give us a sense of where you started and how long it took to get you like building Icarus?
It's not good. It's not good. So here's the thing. I went nuts. Like, you don't have to do this anymore because there's so many tools that are coming out now that I didn't have a year ago when I started building all of this stuff, right? Like when I started messing around. So there's new stuff that's helping everybody out daily. And there's technology that's helping people that I'm like, oh man, if I had had that a year ago, that would have helped me out. So how many hours have I sunk into this? Hundreds, like lots. Lots and lots and lots, which is why you're seeing me crank these things out at like Robin Williams joke telling pace. I'm just like throwing them out there and everyone's like, well, how are you doing this? I have this infrastructure set up with like this no code, low code kind of workflow platform where I can just pick and choose and grab and go. But I spent a whole lot of time building that up and learning my tool set so that now I'm just like, oh yeah, grab and go. And I know where all of my tools are. And so when someone comes around and they're like, can you do it with this tool and that tool and that tool? I'm like, not really. No, but you give me the freedom to do what I want. I'm like, yeah, sure. Here you go. Like, it's done.
So you've got like a custom workspace, right? Yeah. Like you've got all the tools that you need to get you from point A to point Z, right? Yeah. Like you've got all of those in arm's reach, and it's like they're low code, no code tools on top of that, right? Yeah. And those are allowing you to build some crazy things. But what folks really want to hear about, right, is what allowed you to get to that point, right, where it became low code, no code, because it feels like there's a level of understanding and a level of dedication that had to happen before it became easy.
You got to take the red pill. It's just like when you learned object-oriented programming. When you learned object-oriented programming, there was that time when your brain turned to mush. Like, do you remember that? And you're like, I don't get it. This sucks. Who does this? This doesn't make any sense to me. And it took time for your brain to adjust. And then once you got it, you were like, oh, now I get this. Like, it takes time for it to sink in.
Man, there's a reason why I asked this question. It transcends the AI question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you get good at anything? You have to obsess about it for a while.
Yes.
In a painful way.
Yes. And that's this.
Yeah, like I just answered a thread today on community. It was like, hey, I just got my welcome to ServiceNow cert. I'm super excited to learn. Like, how come there's no info on how to really excel and get a job? I'm like, you're not even there.
Yeah, you
like you spent maybe 4 hours at this.
You bought a shovel and now you want to know how to start a construction company. It's like, well, hold on. You might want to spend some time.
Yeah, or your first 5 minutes of the gym is like, where's the gains? There's nothing you get. And it's like, even with AI helping us now, it's still, you have to pay the piper. If you want to do something that cool, you've got to, I don't know anything about birthing a child, right?
No. But
it seems to me like it's the most glorious, miraculous thing in the entire world. But what the crucible you have to pass to get that child is astounding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to do something cool, be it just being a ServiceNow anything or being on the cutting edge of the AI stuff, you just have to think about it in terms of what labor am I going to put in? Can I do 9 months and then labor?
Don't compare the way you learn and the way I learn are totally different things. I've been doing integration work for a long time. So when you see me throw together this PyAware thing, which by the way, guys, I had already built the damn thing. I had already done this integration. Go look at my YouTube. I had already done an integration into PyAware. There's one that I did into ServiceNow. Like, I've already messed with this technology before. This isn't anything that's new to me. I went back through and recycled a project. That's what you should be doing in your careers. Like, go back and recycle a project. Don't start from scratch. Like, who does that? Go take a project that you already know, something that you're familiar with, and go do it again. Because you know what? It helps you learn. Like, it helps you learn how to get to Carnegie Hall. Practice, practice, practice. Do it again and again and again. I have one project that I've rebuilt, like, I don't know how many times over the course of my career, because that's just the project I know. And like, I do it again and again to keep me fresh.
So basically, the secret to success today is a whole lot of effort yesterday, right?
Yeah. And if you have insomnia, that helps too.
Yeah, that always does. I'm blessed to not have it. And I always think about that every single day right before I go to bed.
You jerk. Yeah. Wow. Push that knife. Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I used to. That's why I got all my content from her. It was like, why is the content slowing down? Because I sleep now.
Yeah, you sleep. Yeah, like, people are like, what's this integration? I'm like, I don't know. I had 3 milligrams of Lunesta in my body. I have no idea what it is. Like, can you build it again? I'm like, maybe.
probably not.
I don't know. I tore that one down. Like, it's like, yeah.
So, I mean, so look at your LinkedIn feed, Mark. Yeah. I mean, it is just a one-stop shop of cool stuff, right? Like,
does anybody talk about AI at ServiceNow more than Mark?
Not in my feed, no.
In my feed either.
And so you've built this AI, you call them Cause.
Cause, right? Yeah. Chatbot operating system, yeah.
Chatbot operating system, okay, I like that. And the things that I see come across my feed from you, with you and Cause, yeah. Right, like I should say, right, like Cause can apparently tell you, like, what's in your fridge.
Sometimes, pudding, yeah. The chocolate pudding.
You know what's funny?
Everybody in their 40s is like, what the hell are they talking about?
What are they talking about?
They have never heard of Jell-O pudding, and maybe not even Bill Cosby.
What's funny, so I've been stealing celebrity voices for Cause.
Nice.
Yeah, I would do one for you, but you'll probably get a takedown notice. Right now, he's stuck on Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson. Pretty simple stuff. There's nothing earth-shattering about what people are doing here.
It feels earth-shattering.
I just want to
level set the expectation from the outside, right? Like when I scroll your feed, man, it really feels earth shattering.
It's one of those things where, like, I'm just some dude. I can't be the only one that's figured this out. Like, it can't just be me.
But you're also the one that did like the hundreds of hours towards it.
Right.
Yeah, but
that was just a setup,
I don't know. That was just because I'm an idiot and I didn't know Kubernetes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, neither do I.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who doesn't know Kubernetes.
Right? I mean, eventually, like, I nailed it.
Who's Kubernetes?
Who's that guy? And where has he been?
I mean, it's obviously running now, so.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Earth shattering, again, right? I think is in the eye of the beholder. Right. So I get it. Right. Like, I've got a lot of projects where I do a proof of concept just to prove to myself that I can do it.
Yeah.
Right. And then I put them on a shelf. Right. And it's like, the challenge was getting to that point. What made you keep going? Right. Because you didn't stop at, oh, man, this is a nice little chatbot that can tell me some weird and cool things. Like, you're like, the stuff that I see you publish is better than my Google Home.
Yeah, there's a couple of impetuses there. I have a Google Home. I love Google Home. I'm frustrated with Google Home because I went, Google Home, I love that you sometimes tell me there's a package, but you barely ever get it right. Let's just be honest. It does an okay job, but right. You're telling me that this is AI? This is what you're packaging up and selling to people as AI?
Well, like, this is what most people know as AI, right?
Yeah, that's frustrating to me. You know what I mean? Like, this is the capability that we have. Like, and I get it. Like,
so now we're getting somewhere.
That was the capability that we probably had at that point. Right. This is the capability we have now. And I'm like, that's frustrating. That's really frustrating to me. Like, where's all the innovation? Google's pumping out Gemma. I'm like, so where's our update? You know what I mean? Like, where is it? What happened? All I see is Google shutting down Nest. I'm like, so what happened? Like,
so you've got the Google Home at home, and when you got it, like me, probably like you were thinking like, damn, man, this is crazy. This is great.
Yeah.
And then like the rest of the world, right? Like the AI revolution came, and your Google Home and Amazon Alexa and so on and so forth mm-hmm. all just kind of stayed stuck where they were.
Yeah. And then Google starts killing it off. And I'm like, guys, we had the whole thing. We had everything ready to go. You had devices in every room in the house. You had everything. And then
nothing, just kind of got stuck. And so you decided that we've got all the parts here. Maybe you can do better.
I guess I'll just kind of start building parts myself. I gave them enough time. Like, I guess.
Google, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm like, screw you guys. Guess I'll do it myself. And I had talked to people about this. I had other nerdy friends that were like, I want to put cameras in my home and presence detectors and all this stuff. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? Seriously, right. In the back of my head, I'm like, how the hell are you guys going to do this? You guys are crazy. And then finally, I'm sitting here going, well, now I know how you're going to do it. Like, I figured it out.
Because that brings us to one of the coolest posts that I've seen on your LinkedIn feed. It's your camera, right, that you've got AI running against that allows you to know who showed up in front of your house and if they dropped off a package or not. And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that one's a little fun. Combine that one with the garage. Those two posts are interesting, and I'm kind of pursuing those ones. So what those two allow me to do, so I found a platform. They've packaged up all the OpenCV and all the computer vision packages, which is really neat. And they allow you to tap into this cornucopia of data. And so I've been able to process that data, the visual data that a computer sees, given an IP camera stream, and just a local device, so a small, like a tablet or just a phone or something small, I can process the visual data that comes in and then stream that into a vector database. Sorry, Duke. And then from there, I can do almost real-time queries. So what I'm talking about when I say that is I take that data in and I take the scene and I kind of, I'm going to use a word, I'm going to call it normalize. So I normalize that data. I take the bits of information about that data, the tags, what's in the scene, the frames of that, just the overall, what's going on in the scene, what's important about the scene. I normalize that into the vector database. Then I can actually do a search on it. So later when I come back and say, what's going on, I can do a recall of that data real fast, which is really, really cool. It allows me to do some really neat things. So one of the cool things I can do is like, if I'm in the garage, I can say, is my garage door open or closed? And it'll come back within a couple of seconds. And it's like, nope, garage door is closed, garage door is open. I can ask it if the lights are on or off. I can actually, I've gotten it to the point where if the car's in the garage, I can say, is there a car in the garage? What color is the car in the garage? What make or model of car is in the garage? And if it's at the right angle, it'll get it right. I can actually tell it it's in gray Nissan Leaf. There's no training. I have not trained this on any of this data. This is just full on what's already available to it. If I put it in the patio, it'll tell me if the sliding glass door is open or closed. It'll tell me how many people are in the patio. It'll tell me all sorts of just nutty data. And that's without me training.
Camera?
Yep. IP camera. Pre-existing, ready to go. So what I've been using are, and I don't have one in here. They're called Wyze cameras. They're WYZE.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty cool little cameras. The reason I picked the Wyze camera specifically, there's a model of Wyze camera called the Wyze Battery Pro. Neat little camera. It's got a 2K lens. It's got a battery pack. It is hot swappable. And it's got its own spotlight on it. It's got two-way audio, Wi-Fi, weatherproof, waterproof. Basically, put it where you want it. Outdoors, indoors. That little guy could go dang near anywhere and stream you data from wherever you wanted it to go.
Sounds like physical site security on ServiceNow.
Physical site security, the applications are pretty well limitless. Like I was thinking about just the way out there applications. Like what about exterminators? If you're trying to get rid of
rodents. Oh yeah, put the camera where you can't go and just leave it there.
Yep.
Oh, that's right? Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, that bottom of the barrel kind of stuff, but even to go from A to B, right? Think about all the crazy applications that you could do with something like that. Anything that you want to watch that you just don't want to sit there and look at and search through, that's what that would do.
Man. We're going to have to do a second episode of this because we just recorded for like 45 minutes.
Right?
I didn't even realize. I'm like, it can't be that bad. I'm thinking 20 minutes. No, 45 minutes. All right, shoot, Mark. Unfortunately, wow, that time just went crazy fast. I think just given the interest in our last AI episode and how much industry talk there is about AI, yeah, we should just have you back on and go for another 45 minutes.
I'm good with absolutely. That. We'll do it. We'll do it.
I love post production editing.
Rob, you know me, man. Editing is the bane of my existence, too. No worries here.
We still don't have an outro.
All right. Thanks, absolutely. Mark. We're going to see you on the next one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love it. Ask you one question, who the realest be? Unapologetic. If we said it, then we meant it. Foundation build on trust, authentic, so it's cemented. Better make way, only facts in the booth. You're now tuned in with CJ and the Duke. What success? I'll let you in on the scoop. Make your mind your best friend and fill it up with the truth. Come on. Yeah. Make your mind your best friend and fill it up with the truth. Yeah. CJ and the Duke. What's that? Service now. Come on. Yeah. I said welcome to the winner's circle. Yeah.